Good morning, and we are joined, as we are at this time each month, by the mayor of the city of Batesville, Mike Bettis. And Mike, another active week as far as city council is concerned this week, but kind of looking to the past and paying tribute to a member right after the Pledge of Allegiance to begin this week's council meeting.
That's right, and so we took a moment of silence after the Pledge of Allegiance in honor of Bobby Brandis. She served on city council back in 1992 through 1999, two terms, and she was also a longtime employee of the Batesville Community School Corporation out the high school, and so a lot of us have are honored to know Bobby for many years, and so we took a, had a moment of silence in honor of her passing. I believe she passed away on the 28th of May, and just wanted to recognize her service to the city, and we try to do that with every city council member who passes away, or mayor, or whatever the case may be, somebody who has served the city in a capacity for many years, like Bobby Brandis. And so we were honored to do that last on Monday night. So hopefully her family has found some solace over the last couple of weeks, and she will be greatly missed.
Indeed, yeah, and I always enjoyed my my trips to Batesville High School and seeing her in the office. And, of course, also she was involved with the sporting events and so forth, and for her efforts, a member of the Ripley County Basketball Hall of Fame. So you want to talk about a life well-lived is definitely the case of Bobby Brandis.
That is absolutely correct. And you're right. She was a fixture at all the sporting events. She must have worked at the gates of every football and basketball game for years, and so she was just a big part of our community, and hate to see her hate to hear of her passing.
Indeed. So, and with that, we're going to move on to some of the things that the council discussed. Of course, the second reading of the Kids Discovery Factory, and that passed by council.
That's right. So this is something that the city has been working on in conjunction with the Kids Discovery Factory group. They have I've been working diligently in the background for the last number of years, and they are now ready to push ahead and do the fundraising portion. They are looking to raise, I think, approximately $4.4 million so that they can do some construction and then get the programming in place so that they can open a kids museum here in downtown Batesville, and it's a great project. And so there's been a lot of talk about in the background for years, and so this year they're ready to push ahead. I think they were ready to push ahead last year, but unfortunately COVID got in the way, like so many other things, and so they had to push it back a year. And so between the Economic Development Commission and the Redevelopment Commission, between the two groups, they have pledged $500,000 each, $100,000 per year per group, so it works out to $200,000 over 5 years, $200,000 a year for 5 years for $1 million as the city's incentive for that project. And this is we're hoping that this is an opportunity that will bring visitors into Batesville and get our name out there a little bit more. It's also a quality of life item for us, as a way for us, for the Kids Discovery Factory folks, to talk about science and technology and engineering and mathematics, STEM programs, and trying to emphasize that more with our young people. And so it's a great opportunity, and so we're hopeful that this will get them started so that they can raise the rest of the money that they need to raise so they can bring that project to its to fruition, so if they can push ahead and get it ready.
All right. And then some new items on the agenda, the Ready Initiative. I've seen this before, what can you give us a little bit of background of the Ready Initiative and Council's action that, of course, passed on Monday night, but what can you tell us about the Ready Initiative?
So this is something that has really popped up here in the last 4 to 6 weeks as the state legislators were wrapping up their legislative season. Money was made available to the state, and I believe it was through the American Rescue Plan, ARP plan, that was coming from the federal government, that the state received a fair amount of money from the federal government. And so the state then put half a billion, they put $500 million into a fund that they're calling the Regional Economic Acceleration and Development Initiative. The acronym is READY. And so they are, what they're looking to do is to award 10 regional groups $50 million each to help get some projects off the ground, projects that have already somewhat in the planning stage, that are, as the state likes to call, shovel ready, to get them started, to get give them some funding so they can push some of those projects forward and get, so they can start working on some projects. And so the city of Batesville is looking to partner with the cities of Shelbyville, Rushville, and Greensburg. And to show that we are partnering with them, we needed to pass a resolution on Monday night that talked about the I-74 corridor region, which is a name that we're currently using for our group. And so the cities, along with the counties of Shelby, Rush, and Decatur, are looking to form this I-74 corridor group, and will be going at it as a region from southeastern Indiana that is looking to show how we work together, and plans of what projects that we have, of what we're looking to do, so as to make our cities and counties more attractive for people to live, for people to work, to encourage investment and projects all across our communities. And so the city of Batesville took that first step on Monday night by passing a resolution giving us the opportunity to be a part of that group, so that we can start putting together a plan, so that we can see if maybe we would qualify for a one of those 10 regional winners, to see if we can't then help some of our organizations be able to do some projects that we've talked about. And so still a little bit early to talk about projects, as much as it is we need to work on, one, getting our letter of intent into the state, and then if that is successful, then we will start work doing the heavy lifting of pulling together a fairly massive plan on what's happening in our community, and then how we would invest that money in our community so that we can grow our places. It's going to take a lot of work. There's a lot to this. I mean, it isn't just about what the city would like. It is actually what is best for our communities. And so we have to be, so there'll be lots of conversations with different organizations within all of our communities, with our major employers. So we have already had conversations with one of our major employers, with Hillenbrands, and trying to making sure that they're in touch with what we're doing. And they've also given us some insight into how they feel about some projects. And so it's really a large collaborative effort to get the city, to get our businesses, to get our nonprofits, to get major organizations with our communities, all trying to pull together to get some projects done. And so this is something that we've been doing already, and so this will just give us an opportunity to do it at a much larger scale. And so we have a lot of ideas, and we think we have a great story to tell, and we're hopeful that we'll be able to make our pitch to the state, to the Indiana Economic Development Corporation, so that we can have a shot at one of those regions, so that we can do our part for our communities.
All right. So a lot involved there, a lot of moving parts, if you will, and not only here locally, but also the other three cities that you're partnering with, it sounds like.
Yes, and so we already do a number of things together between our groups. I mean, we're already located on Interstate, or most of us are located actually on Interstate 74, Greensburg, Shelbyville, Batesville, all right on the interstate itself. And so we do some group things with, we do some economic development stuff with the I-74 Economic Development Group. So we already have a natural connection. We're also doing work together with talent attraction to help attract employees to our businesses and our community. And so we're already doing a number of things together. And now we're going to try to show that on paper and show that then how that will benefit our region in the, and to the best way we possibly can, so that we can grow our communities and help make them more, help make them stronger for the future, and hopefully then also make the state stronger for the future, and do what we can to push our communities and our state forward.
Council approved a zoning change. This is for Lakeshore Village. The property looking to go from business to residential, and what's the background on that?
And so we have developers here in Batesville between Charles Gilman and then also Mike Perleyberg, who have teamed up for what they call LSL Holdings, and they own a piece of land which is on the east side of Highway 129 on the south side of town, on the east side of town, and that they are in the process of developing that parcel of land. And that land was originally had zoning for what was a unit development business in the front portion, and then a unit development residential in the back, or closer to the Bischoff Reservoir. And so they want to turn that into housing front to back, from all the way from Highway 129 all the way to the water's edge. And so they asked us if we would change the zoning to UD residential for the for all of that land. And so they came and made a presentation to the Planning Commission back on May 13th. The Planning Commission heard a presentation from LSL Holdings, seemed the presentation was well received, and the Planning Commission then voted unanimously to recommend to City Council to change the zoning to all UD residential. Then that was heard Monday night by City Council. I believe one of the members did have some questions about it wasn't necessary to change the zoning because they could have still built residential there to start off with. By the zoning laws, it was already somewhat correct, but they wanted to make it as precise as they possibly could, and so the City Council then voted unanimously then to approve the zoning change, and which gives another thumbs up to the developers to that we're looking forward to their development and hoping that they are successful. They're looking to develop, I think it's close to 200 lots, building lots, single-family home building lots on that land, and so we're really excited about the opportunity to have that large of a development get started in our community, which is one of those things that we'll probably point to with the Ready program that we've already talked about. So this is another one of the things that we're hopeful that will show our businesses and to the different groups around businesses that, hey, we're here to grow, we're here to make some things happen, and this is a great opportunity for us. So we're so I'm very thankful to council for voting for that, and does give a give the developers an opportunity now to proceed with their plans, and hopefully we'll be seeing more from them later this year.
And also another ordinance that was passed, vacating an alley.
That's right. And so there's an alley here in town that was really underutilized when the owners of the two adjoining properties came to the city of Batesville and said, hey, would you consider vacating this alley? I had to go see it in person because it's not one that I was familiar with just off the top of my head. And it is an alley that is really two tire tracks appears to be going through somebody's yard. And so it's obviously has not been well utilized. And so it was was not a difficult decision. So they went to the Planning Commission on at the Planning Commission's June 3rd meeting and asked to have those two lots or have that alley be vacated. And so by the when that happens, the land gets divided equally between the two adjoining landowners, which is what's going to happen in this case. And so it went to City Council on Monday night. Again, it was a relatively simple decision. The city's not using that alley for any purpose, and the homeowners would prefer it to be gone. So it made sense to vacate the alley. And so they voted, again, unanimously to vacate that alley so they can clean it up a little bit. I think they will take the alley out completely and just make it into grass and hopefully make it nicer than what it is today. So another easy decision for council this week.
All right. And with that, we're going to go ahead and take a brief time out. We'll be back with more with Mayor Mike Best from the City of Batesville right after this.
Don't adjust your radio. The sound that you hear is your stomach. You're having trouble focusing. You can't recall your last meal. You're trapped in the hunger zone. The solution, Batesville To Go. Let To Go deliver a hot, fresh meal to your home or office whenever hunger strikes. To Go delivers the best food from local restaurants. Visit us online at togodelivers.com or call us at 812-727-8800. Batesville To Go. Big city convenience, small town taste.
And welcome back. I'm Tom Snape, and we are speaking with Mayor Mike Best of the City of Batesville. And yet another item, this came up during the clerk treasurer's report. Councilmember Tracy Rolfing had an idea as far as some salaries are concerned. What's going on there?
Tracy had a very interesting suggestion on Monday night, one that I am I'm not used to at all. And so before I came to be mayor, I worked for Alcoa for 30 years. And historically, in business, people, when there are raises that happen on a yearly basis, that it's everybody would get a very similar percentage, and you would take a percentage and you would give everybody a 1% or 2%, 3% raise. And Tracy had asked if there would be a possibility of potentially changing the way we think about raises and to make it so that instead of giving everybody at the same 4% raise, that we figure out what that total dollar amount of the raise would be. And this, we don't know what that number is quite yet. But he wanted to, instead of it just being everybody gets a 4% or a 3% raise, that we look at it and say, okay, instead of giving a percentage raise, let's give everybody the same amount. So let's give everybody, and I'll make up a number, let's give everybody a $1,000 raise this year. And so the people who are at the low end of the pay scale would get the same dollar amount raise as people who are at a higher wage scale, at the higher end of the scale. And so it is a little bit different how most people would think about it, but I believe his thought process was is that it would help those people who are at the lower end of the pay scale to get an equal raise to everybody else. And because with COVID and now we seem to be getting a bit of inflation hitting us, that those people who go, we all go to the grocery store, we all buy a loaf of bread, we all buy a gallon of gas, we all are being hit by that, by those increases. And this, he thought this was a better way to help those people who are at the lower end of our scale, to help them keep ahead and not fall behind. And so again, this is not something I was used to. It was not, and so it was something that Tracy felt very strongly about, and so he brought it up to the other city councilmen. They seemed to all be on the same page, as they thought this was a good way to do this. I believe that their intention is to do this one year only, that this is not going to become the norm, and that they would want to try this year. I believe Tracy actually went to a number of the employees who are at the higher end of the scale to break it to them in person, to explain it in person so that they could ask questions, and you seem to get a favorable response. And so he brought it to city council. And so what they have indicated to Paul and myself is that they would like us to build the salary schedule for next year based on giving everybody the same dollar amount raise and not a percentage raise. And so it looks at it slightly differently, but we're going to try to build it that way as we start working on the budget this summer. And so it's a rather unique way of looking at it, but we'll see how it shakes out, and we put together the salary ordinance and see how they react to it when we bring that back to them, either hopefully next month, or either July or August. We'll see.
Did I understand it right that the budget hearing is in August?
Yeah, I don't think we've set the exact date. We normally have the budget hearing at the end of August. It's normally in that last week, and I think we've normally had it on Tuesdays most of the last number of years. And so we're still a little bit away from that, but most times we try to bring the salary ordinance to council in July so that they have a chance to have a first reading in July and then hopefully pass it then in August.
Okay, and so with that, we're going to move on to a little bit lighter topics, if you will. And, of course, the news broke last week. The Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra is coming back to town on July 1st. And how is that going as far as that's concerned?
Actually, really well. The Board of Works actually, in their business on Monday night, approved the road closure to close Pullman, which is the street that runs right through the middle between Gillespie Park and the baseball complex. And so we took that action Monday night. But the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra is scheduled to be here on July 1st. The orchestra is supposed to begin at 8 p.m. As we like to say, the gates will open at 6. But if you're familiar with Gillespie Park, there's really no gates. And so people are encouraged to come out whenever you're comfortable that afternoon, that evening. But the performance will start at 8. The symphony orchestra normally plays for about an hour and a half. And they also have fireworks as a part of the program. And so it is a fun evening. And so we're going to make kind of a big night out of it. Or in the past, the symphony orchestra has done a nice job of highlighting members of the audience who are from the different armed forces, from the Marines to the Army to the Navy to the Air Force. And so this year we're looking to add kind of a new twist and taking time to thank those members of our community who are the first responders, the police, the fire, the healthcare workers, even those people who work in nursing homes, anybody who is in that realm who is helping to take care of other people or who are very involved with COVID-19. We want to take some time and thank them for their service. It is one way for us to kind of thank those people, and also hopefully this is a kickoff of there being better times ahead. And so we're looking forward to that on July 1st, and I encourage everybody to come out and join us. It is free, like it has been in the past, and so it's a great night, and it's a great way to come celebrate our Independence Day a couple of days early, and also enjoy some great music and see some people maybe you haven't seen for a while. So come out and join us.
All right, looking forward to that. The Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra, Star Spangled event on July 1st at Gillespie Park. And, of course, another thing that's in the pipeline is the Umbrella Sky Project. And, of course, the construction is there, they still need to get all that together. But what's the latest on that?
So if you drive through downtown, you will notice that there is this beautiful steel structure. Actually, it's aluminum structure that is in the parking lot we call Village on the Green parking lot, which parallels Main Street. It's in that section, which is between Fifth Third Bank and I'll say the Pizza House on the other side of Boringer Street. And so in that parking lot, in that area, there is a steel or aluminum structure that has been that was erected last week, and we're now waiting for the umbrellas to arrive. And so this is a project that the Batesville Area Arts Council started a couple of years ago, and they are looking to bring to our community. And it truly is an art project. It will have colorful umbrellas that will be suspended 20 feet in the air above the parking lot. And so Batesville will be the seventh city in the world to have taken on this project. And so it's been relatively popular where it has been done. I believe it's been done in Coral Gables. I believe it was just at Dollywood. And so it's been in other places across the United States. I think this will be the fifth installation in the U.S. and the seventh in the world. And so it is a neat idea, and it's one of those things that we're hopeful that will attract people to downtown, bring people out, bring people to come together and enjoy the scenery. It's already the parking or the park itself, which is right next to this parking lot, is already a beautiful place. We just replaced the roof section on the pergola there, so it's ready to go. So it's really looks like it's going to come together. We have still waiting on the umbrellas, so we'll hopefully get those here quickly, and then they will assemble that and put the umbrellas up, and hopefully then it'll be up for most of the summer into the early fall. And so it's another one of these unique things. And so I really need to thank the folks in the Batesville Area Arts Council. This was their idea. This is something they've been working on, and it is really unique and really will be a beautiful installation when it's done.
All right. And with that, of course, a lot of great things going on in the city of Batesville. And Mike Bettis, we appreciate your time this morning.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and encourage everybody to make sure you join us either under the umbrellas when they arrive, or come join us for July 1st for the Star Spangled Symphony. It's a great opportunity to hear a symphony orchestra and enjoy fellowship with your neighbors and friends. And so we encourage everybody to come out and be a part of Batesville. And thank you. And thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to share with folks what goes on with City Council on a monthly basis. And so we encourage people to come out and join us whenever you can. And I thank WRBI for giving me this opportunity to share with folks what's happening around our community.
And you are more than welcome. Again, our thanks to Mayor Mike Bettis from the City of Batesville for joining us this morning. I'm Tom Snape, and we'll talk to you next time.